Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And we're going to get loco.
It's time to get loco.
Loco, loco.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no city council meeting this week. They were all in D.C. for the League of Cities.
Yeah, they're all in D.C.
Which they opened, a case, there was a case of the COVID-19 that was on Friday in D.C., so
there you go.
Hopefully they didn't shake too many hands.
Yeah, a little weird when you actually have the people who are speculating, is the president, was he exposed to the coronavirus?
Right, yeah.
It's like, well, maybe he was, actually. And
well, John Oliver had a photo of him shaking a hand of some congressperson
who actually has it.
So who knows?
Who knows?
I'm surprised. He probably, though, washed his hand immediately. He's a germaphobe.
Yeah. One thing that I feel pretty strongly about, though, is that even if you hate somebody more
you
than
you don't want to wish sickness.
You do not wish illness on even your worst enemy.
No. And, well, I don't wish death. Illness, maybe. Heart attack,
perhaps.
Maybe.
Misfortune,
to just say,
perhaps. I don't know. I'll in a pinch, I'll defend my enemies even.
You don't want to wish.
I think it's sort of bad form, and courtesy counts here.
Some people deserve it.
Even in politics, there ought to be at least some courtesy. So,
all right.
So actually, let me just say one thing here. This is sort of just a small matter.
Mm.
One of the things I do occasionally is I lead walks, and my knee has actually been doing very well lately.
Oh, good.
So this Sunday,
Sunday?
In North Billerica, the old Middlesex Canal.
Which you've done a million times.
Done it many, many times, and it's usually pretty popular. We have a nice group of people up there. And it's all outside, and hopefully the weather will be nice. So 1:30 up at Faulkner Dam on the Concord River in North Billerica.
You can find information on the AMC Local Walks, right?
Yeah,
on Robert's website.
Yeah, it's a joint effort of the AMC Local Walks
and
the Middlesex Canal Association.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the webmaster of Middlesex Canal Association.
Wow. So. Okay.
We talk a lot of history, and I also lead some walks around Fresh Pond and elsewhere around locally here. So I'll be scheduling.
Just look
some
on
more
his
too.
Website.
You know, it's actually fun to go.
rwinters.com, cambridgecivicjournal.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing we wanted to talk about last week, but we didn't because we got to talk about other things, was one of the items that was on the City Council agenda a week ago, Monday, March 2nd, in addition to the passing of some big zoning things, was a big expenditure, $15 million, to bring up to a total of $40 million with the Affordable Housing Trust for the preservation of 504
Fresh
housing units in what we call expiring use buildings, 362 364 Ridge Avenue, Fresh Pond Apartments.
Right.
And if you actually do the math, take $40 million and divide it by the 504, it's basically the city's basically getting for $80,000 per housing unit. They're being able to extend the affordability of these housing units.
Right. I mean, there is a difference in the units, which
there,
I learned.
There is some modifications.
The Beamer units are below market. Interest rate program is now defunct under HUD, and that's what's for the really poor residents. And that is 106 units, and the others are 338 are under the Section 8 project-based funding.
Right.
So it was they're especially concerned about the other units.
Right.
Because they really, their rents probably may go up a little or may not.
Right. Right.
So this is going to help everybody.
You know, I'm by the way, I mean, I know this city and I completely understand the desire to keep the affordability. And, and as long as you can negotiate some arrangement with the owner to do it, great. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is, I actually like the model that they use in order to generate those units way back when. The deal was: you get a builder to build a significant number of units of housing, with the understanding
a long-term lease of keeping it affordable.
So this way, it's not permanent necessarily. Mm. There would come a day in the future when, in fact, those would be you could just put them on the market, which makes it much easier for somebody to actually secure financing to build projects, and then the building of the project, the cost is on the owner to do it. I'm sure there was some federal monies or whatever available
A lot more than.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Not now. But now it's so now they're getting a 30-year thing promise?
Sort of an extension.
Something 30 years.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I mean, a lot of the rhetoric is, you know, in the last few years has always been, it must be permanently affordable housing. And I'm thinking, well, that's all well and good.
I think it's different if it's built by homeowners rehab or it's built by from the start where they bought the property. That's different because they are affordable housing developers. These people were not necessarily.
Right.
The Shockout Brothers or whatever, they're housing developers. So, there's that difference.
Yeah, but I...
These are, I mean, there are permanent
affordable. I think long-term affordability is still a pretty good thing, you know? And if, in fact, there is an understanding that one day it would go to market, you know, if you really want to believe optimistic, then, you know, once upon a time, you know, market rate housing includes affordable housing because not everybody's rents were out of scale. So
I know, but I'm just saying there is a difference, though, between
the current craziness
for profit developers
and
the others.
Okay, you know, but anyway, you know, if you compare $80,000 to purchase 30 years of affordability per unit to dropping over $500,000 per unit to build new, this is a bargain.
Is that the definite going rate?
Yeah. Yeah,
not right. $250,000.
Yeah, when
that's you're talking about a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom. What are you talking about?
I think
about?
Sort of on average, what they say is the sort of
it's
the per unit cost of producing so-called affordable housing is actually not very affordable. It's just that it's government money.
Well, it's not affordable. Go find a unit for $450,000.
Right, but some have argued that there are more efficient ways to actually produce housing units and.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. Well, but some of those ways. You don't agree with taking
some
property
agree with,
that you
do.
Could buy and maybe make 4 units out of it, 3 units.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But anyway, I think it was a great achievement of many people.
Wonderful.
I mean, the mayor was very, very hard driving this, but the truth is that it has been a primary goal of the Affordable Housing Trust for a decade or more.
To make sure these properties do not revert back.
First and foremost, secure the long-term affordability of so-called expiring use buildings.
Right.
Now they've actually completed that whole cycle. So now what you will probably see is a shift in focus with the Affordable Housing Trust toward new construction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that will dovetail into other conversations that are happening or will be happening in a couple months.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I thought that was a pretty important thing to talk about. And the funding for that, you know, right now funding, you know, the Community Preservation Act, it provides significant amount of funds for the Affordable Housing Trust. That was, until a few years ago, really the sole source of the city funds for it. It was matching funds from other sources as well, including state. That's the whole point of the Community Preservation Act. But now they're actually dipping into the general fund again and adding that into the operating funds for the Affordable Housing Trust. And then there are other things. There was actually a policy order last week supporting a real estate transfer fee, you know, which would then funds would go directly into the local Affordable Housing Trust. So I think there are competing bills up at the State House about that.
Yeah,
Some of which I think
flux.
Has some reasonable support, and others which are a little sort of off the left end of things. But I think most people are at least agreeable to some notion of generating funds that way.
Yeah.
The question is, do you want to do it in a brutal way? You know, because you punish those evil capitalists, or do you want to do it in sort of like here's a way of generating some money kind of way, which I think is a little more appropriate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll see how the whole policy shakes out over the next year or two.
And I would recommend people interested in housing. There was a very good housing committee done last week, and you can catch it on video. And different people that deal with affordable housing, community development, et cetera, presented, and then some just interesting figures and comments. So I recommend that.
Right.
This is off topic a little bit, but I just heard today on the radio that the gas moratorium in Brookline was not upheld by whatever court they went to. That's still not to mean it's a done deal, but I heard the Attorney General say they're looking into things. So that's interesting, because that was supposed to be, it was a home rule petition? Or because they had to look at the state utility guidelines or something, right?
Yeah, I think it's generally speaking, in matters of infrastructure, including telecommunications, local communities actually cannot, have limited control. And there are reasons for that. I mean, if every little whistle stop could do whatever the heck they wanted, they could completely jam tight telecommunications, you know, road networks, gas infrastructure, electric infrastructure, whatever. Now, it doesn't mean that local communities should have no say in matters.
So you think that's true in every state? Because I know this is...
Yeah, it's federal.
Because it is, it is in effect. I don't know. They did mention other cities around the country, but I'd have to look back at that. But just thought, we'll see where that goes now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people have been waiting to see what was going to happen there first.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we're kind of in a very weird time these days, where whether it's because you're concerned about climate change or whatever, where we are in a period of time, I think, politically, where there are people who very much want to say, you can't do this anymore because we think it's...
Well, it's bad for the environment. For meanwhile, how about looking at what's possible now? Yes, we all, everyone's agreed, we all want to get to that point. But getting to that point, do you do it by bans? Do you do it by just introducing different, you know?
And what are the limitations in terms of dictating to individuals what they're allowed to? I mean, for example, if I absolutely believe I need to have a gas stove.
But that was Pat. That was okay in Brooklyn. That was the one they did concede to that. So
well, I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
But there are some who would actually say, I'm sorry, that's terrible.
Right.
You're a climate
killer. But they had to. There were too many people that said no.
But the point I was going to make was simply that we're kind of in a period now where things like constitutional guarantees, like you can't take that right away from me, are starting to become somewhat more relevant again. I don't. I guess they've always been relevant.
Yeah.
But the thing is that as you have more and more kind of control at the government level of
then that gets into this all grant. Well, it's socialism. There's got to be certain standards that we all adhere to, and maybe this whole thing with the COVID-19 is going to make us realize that.
Maybe
that
so.
We have to look out and not just think of ourselves.
I'll give you an example, which is to me, it's a benign example, and ultimately I think it worked out for the best. But if you were a person who absolutely believed that incandescent bulbs were the only electric lights you wanted to have. And I actually had a tenant in my building who said, oh, no, for those compact fluorescents, they make a high-pitched sound, and I can't have them. I have to have incandescent bulbs. So we kept a stock of incandescent bulbs for him, you know, around. But the thing is, then the federal government says, that's illegal. You can't even trade those. You can't have those. Mm. So some people are actually going to Canada to buy
hoarding them.
Incandescent bulbs.
People still use them because it's enforcement. Who's going to look?
Yeah. And then the truth is that those, the preferable compact fluorescents, well, they were poisonous. They had mercury compounds.
I know, but people are throwing them out.
Now they're throwing them out. They're being replaced with LEDs.
Energy is just...
And I'm glad for the LEDs. I think it's a really good technology.
But some of them don't last as long as they say they do.
I know. The sales pitch are always fallacious, but the point is that there is a legitimate question to say should the government be telling you you're not allowed to have a fluorescent bulb? Is the government really should be? They'd be great if they kind of convince me that I should be using induction cooking rather than a gas stove. I said, well, fine.
The government
make the case.
Will never go that far. Right. Not our federal.
Make the case. But, convince me. Give me show me that it's a good, affordable alternative, and it's dependable and whatever.
Name something.
Convince me.
Name some federal rule that applies to all that is a good one.
That
I guess discrimination, civil rights. Yeah,
I like that. Voting rights.
But again,
civil
enforcement
rights.
is a whole other issue. Of all, you can make all the rules you want, but if no one's enforcing it, if no one's looking out for that, make sure it's it falls to the wayside.
Yeah.
You know.
But I am concerned that regardless how strongly one feels about climate change, the thing is that there is still something about private rights,
at least in this country.
Like, I know I can completely agree with your intentions and your desire and your goals, but to what degree do I still retain some choice here? Or, in fact, are you simply going to tell me what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you do it to some degree. Like they say, well, in any new construction, should you make it so that all buildings must be solar ready? Well, I'd say for new construction.
Well, they wouldn't say solar ready. They mean they should be. There's another word, net zero, or you should try everything you can to make it less, more sustainable.
I think you should.
And actually, builders want to do that.
Builders do want to do that. Right. But if you make the requirements so onerous that everything becomes hideously unaffordable, you know, it's like, well, thanks, but no thanks. I'd rather not do that.
But my whole thing is, I don't think people understand. They all say, well, okay, so we're going to ban gas, we're going to get electric, that's all good, and it's all renewable, but it isn't yet. So, again, it's most of our electricity is coming from natural gas.
We did
get rid of coal, so it's better than coal, but it's still about 60% or something. So until you get there, you may not be doing the
combustion in your basement or your kitchen. Yeah. You're just doing it up in Saugus.
Yeah, so until we get there, let's not be so, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that.
I know.
We're all working towards the same goal. It's just that it's not all...
A little bit of flexibility, a little bit of transitioning.
Speaking, you know, maybe we won't speak...
I'm a moderate.
I know. Me too. Yeah. And the thing about the cable thing, when that comes up...
And that's coming up, what, another year is the cable contract?
I don't know, but the thing about citing all these other places and what you know, do a little more research. A lot of those other places, Longmont, Colorado, Concord, they own the utility.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to, but that makes a big difference in some of those communities that people have, you know, commented on. So just remember that. Do some homework on your research. Not everyone's the same. And none of them account for cable television. One of them said, oh, yeah, you can do this or you can just stream. So just it's just not that simple.
Right.
Okay. And I really hope that feasibility study gets done because we need it.
I agree.
And I think we
talked about that a couple of weeks ago, is that the city manager's kind of... By the way, there is another meeting of the Government Operations Committee meeting this Thursday,
at
5:30. It was a little confusing because the agenda on the City Council website kept saying Wednesday, March 12th. I kept saying, it's Thursday, March 12th. So is it Wednesday, March 11th? Do you get the date wrong or the day wrong? You know?
I'm going to go to
But it is actually Thursday, March 12th at 5:30.
Okay.
Government Operations.
And that is an open meeting?
Yep, they're all open meetings. And
televised, right?
Yeah, and I just have to say that there's no way that this is going to be... This isn't down the road. This is really still setting the parameters of the process for how they're going to deal with either the extension of the current city manager's contract or if they're going to be... setting up a process for sort of looking far and wide for a city manager. As we said the other week, and I'll reiterate it, is that I think that there are a few issues that are inescapably going to be part of that conversation. Whether they should be or shouldn't be is up to somebody to decide. But broadband, this push for broadband, and the fact that the manager has been sort of reticent about moving on a study, maybe he's got good reasons, but the thing is that ultimately...
That's not good enough, yeah.
That's just not going to fly say, well, trust me, I think it's bad.
Yeah. Just come up with the numbers. Come up with... Do the homework. I mean, we did the Envision for 3 years, and where'd that get us? I don't know.
Nowhere.
They could spend, you know, a lot less than that. Get some good people in other places that have done it, but with this city in mind and what is involved, and not just...
It's not just a matter of, like, you know, creating digital equity for people who live in this place or that place having access to the internet.
Right.
That's an important factor, but the thing is that for many of us, you know, when I finally caved in and decided to deal with the evil empire of Comcast, you know, it wasn't just to get the internet access. It was also...
Oh, you wanted to watch
TV.
Sports.
I wanted to watch the Red Sox games.
But we're a dying breed. Because, you're definitely a dying breed. Me, I do watch cable TV and stream. I have Amazon and Hulu.
I don't even know how to stream.
I know you don't.
Right.
But the point is, I don't, you know, if you do all that stream and you want to watch this, you can add up spending as much money almost. So,
You know what I really hate about cable TV? The fact is, you pay a pile of money, and unless you pay even more money, I can't get Turner Classic Movies.
Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that. Go to the library. They have all of that on DVDs. Do you have a DVD player?
Yeah, I do. But the thing is that sometimes when you just... Saturday night, you don't like what's on, you just want to watch a movie.
Because you don't know what's on, Robert. Let's not
I look, no. I go through the whole thing.
I know, but you don't have Amazon, you don't have Hulu, you don't have HBO, you don't have Showtime.
That was my whole point.
So you don't have Netflix.
So
how can you not have Netflix?
So
$12 a month. Can somebody get him a subscription? Right.
No, listen, maybe I'm going to cave and do that here. But
there's
honestly,
so many movies on those
I agree. But the point is simply that, you know, they pay a ton for Comcast to begin with, and they say, and now pay another ton on top of that.
Well, you're not paying as much as I am, so stop complaining.
Maybe not. I'm just saying. You know what bothers me even more than that? There are times, honestly, I just want to watch an old Popeye cartoon.
I can't believe you said this stuff.
I just want to do that.
You are a dinosaur.
And
if
you go to like the Cartoon Network,
you know how sexist and racist some of that stuff is?
But it's old and it's interesting and it's beautiful.
You've got to get your, all right, just don't, go for some newer stuff. All right.
You know, I have my rights.
Popeye.
I want to see it. I like Popeye cartoons.
Didn't he punch like olive oil or something?
No, Bluto maybe, but only accidentally.
And some of you watching this, if you're younger than 50, you don't know what the hell we're talking about. about dinosaurs.
The really old Popeye cartoons were incredible works of animation.
I remember getting the little cartoons in Bazooka Gum. Remember?
Yeah, Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe,
yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Bugs Bunny.
I'm always reminded of that Bruce Springsteen song, 57 Channels and There's Nothing On. It's kind of true.
Yeah, you're not a news junkie. Well, you are like a news junkie.
We'll go over to CNN.
MSNBC.
We'll check in on Fox News. We'll check them out.
I can't check Fox.
No,
I have to see
what they're all saying.
I just can't stomach it.
You know, and you can see if there's a big breaking news story to see how radically different the accounts are across the...
Well, but you get FX, TBS, TNT. So check out Full Frontal, Samantha Bee. She's great. She's on Wednesday. Nights, you know?
Yeah. No, it's better than nothing, right? But I'm not happy.
If you're going to have a
conversation about broadband,
you've got to include all the facts. Okay, what's the TV unit? Who's going to provide that TV? Is Comcast still around? Okay, then you have to have a deal with them.
Right.
It's going to end up being as expensive, but maybe not. So just do the study and tell us.
Yeah, I'm always mindful of the fact there may be the next technology down the road that might supersede the broadband networks we talk about today.
Fiber optics? You mean something beyond
fiber? Right. Whatever it is, if they're going to have a feasibility study about broadband, it really needs
it has to include
be
all that.
Open-ended include the flexibility to include
personally, I can afford to do those other things, but if they could get another internet provider or a competent affordable to most people, I'm all for that.
No, I agree.
You know, because that's what most people want. They don't, I would have to conjecture, they don't want, or they stream, so they just want a fast connection.
Right. No, I agree.
They don't care about Popeye.
Yeah. But I do. Honestly, you know, old movies and cartoons, give me, and a few Red Sox game.
Remember, he doesn't have a cell phone, folks. He does know what he's doing on a computer. He can do a website. He's got an iPad, but he doesn't have a cell phone, so you know who you're dealing with here.
I don't feel the loss. I really don't.
Well, other people probably do. They can't get hold of you, but that's all right.
Well, just one little topic.
Yeah, what else?
This is something we talked about a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
I just want to reiterate a little bit. Is that, you know, all eyes are on presidential primaries, presidential elections. That's what happens every 4 years, right? Mm. But the thing is, we do have state elections, state representatives, state senators. I don't know. I think
we do.
Yeah, and
the
presidential primary is only
September,
for the presidential election.
Right? There's,
but there will be a primary election in September.
Oh yeah, have you heard any more news about that seat?
No.
Okay.
No. But the thing is that, you know, and we have multiple state representative districts as well as state senate districts, three of them in Cambridge, or at least a piece of Cambridge.
Right.
And it's still, except for one district, it's like nobody seems to be interested. I'm not happy with our representation. I'm not saying all of them, but certainly my state representative, honestly,
who is your state representative?
Connolly. And honestly... you know, this guy's so strapped to Sanders as to be indistinguishable at this point, and you know, I would rather see.
But he has his base. He's got his people interested.
But he also has a lot of distractions.
Right?
The problem is that there's something structurally flawed, I think, in the way we we populate our state representatives.
Well, because they're all Democrats, and Democrats don't like the challenge of the Democrats.
I think there may be also something about the nature of the job that that doesn't necessarily attract a broader pool of candidates.
That maybe probably happens across the state.
Could be the money, could be... You know, the abuse you put yourself through could be a lifestyle choice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems, or maybe it's just the way we are, is that nobody really cares about state government.
And, I have a feeling and that's that maybe we don't pay as much attention. You pay attention locally.
We only pay
And federally,
I agree.
Maybe the state,
No, I've always felt that state rep seats, state senate seats, or state senate seats especially, if you grabbed any Cambridge resident just on the spot and said, who's your state senator?
They wouldn't know.
I'd say the majority of people would not be able to answer. It's an invisible seat,
and
yet they actually have power. It's only really when they do something outrageous that,
like bribery, or they find out
there's something, or the taxes got jacked up, or something like that, that people seem to even pay any attention.
Except everyone knows about Marjorie Decker. She seems to be a more of almost a statewide name in a way.
I think she's
because she sponsored some things that are important.
She deserves it. Yeah. Honestly, I think she's worked out pretty well. You know, I don't doubt her sincerity, and I think that she's not outlandishly off
the edge of any political
spectrum, really.
No.
You know, you can understand where she's coming from, but you know, so I'm good with Marjorie. You know, and some of the other ones, I'm not trying to
You just wish there were more challengers.
I wish there was more challengers, and I wish it just didn't feel like a club of people who are detached from the population. And sometimes it really does feel that way, you know?
Well,
And it shouldn't be just your echo chamber where you can sort of push your own political philosophy. Fundamentally, representatives are supposed to be representative.
Well, but that's a problem on every level. Look at the federal level.
I agree.
Look at the people in Congress.
I just wanted to sort of make the note that, in fact, this is something that should matter.
All right.
But it's kind of hard to make the case for why it does matter. But I just think we could do a lot better. So.
All right.
Anyway, see you next week.
We'll be back next week.
All right.
Bye.